The outside protests and the work that our NGO groups were doing inside the convention center really did support the developing countries who stayed strong. And on the last day, it just suddenly collapsed. The northern countries, instead of, I mean, they said, okay, we know that we've got an impasse on agriculture. Instead of saying, what tiny piece can we move that far, which any good negotiator would do, Pierre Pettigrew, our trade minister, said, forget that, let's push the new issues. You want to see how deep the chasm is? Try pushing investment and government procurement, which is basically get governments out of the way and let our corporations come in and run everything, including your natural resources. On top of the fact that we won't give a nano bite on agriculture. And first of all, the Kenyan delegation got up and said, we're out of here, you're not serious. And then the whole African delegation walked out. And the rumors were just going crazy inside the convention center. And when it was confirmed, a group of us pulled out our song sheets. We've been waiting for this. And we sang a version of the Beatles' Money Can't Buy Me Love, but it was Money Can't Buy the World. And of course, the media was going crazy. And it was just, it was an absolutely amazing day. Now, what does it all mean? Well, first of all, I'll talk about what it means first, and then I'll tell you about Cancun. First of all, what happened there, and this should have been in the mainstream press, was that a seismic shift in world politics took place. I mean, this business, the Americans, the Europeans, the Canadians all came out very grim and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the Africans and the Latin Americans are high-fiving behind them, right? Like they're dancing little jigs. They stood up to the big guys. And this group of 21, by the way, are all huge aid recipients from the United States and Europe. So this took a lot of courage for them to do this. So the WTO, a big, big shift took place, number one. Number two, the WTO is now in big trouble. And the WTO being in big trouble means that the whole notion of globalization is deeply in question. I mean, we're winning on some very important fronts, and I want you to know that, because baby, you don't know that. There would be no way for you to have read this anywhere, except if you're looking at, as Vi said, our website or Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives or whatever. But their deadline of 2005, they're not going to make. They're just beginning to tentatively maybe sit down together to start to say, where could we begin to talk again? And this group of 21 is going to be some kind of a permanent fixture on the international scene. China having chosen to go with them instead of the US and Europe is a very, very important political shift in global politics, and you should know about it. The downside is that all of these countries get aid from the United States and Europe, and they are all being really beaten up right now. Robert Zoellick, the U.S. trade rep, the one who went into Doha saying, you're with us or against us on terrorism by, you know, whether you sign on to this agreement, when he held his press conference, he said there were can-do countries and won't-do countries. The United States isn't interested in doing work with won't-do countries. We're going to find our friends and make bilateral deals. And so they've pulled in the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund that's going to call in loans, and they're already threatening to cut back on projects, water projects, hospitals, and so on, in developing countries that were the won't-do countries. So the heavy-duty pressure is on right now. And in many ways, it's harder to follow bilateral agreements, one-on-one agreements, where a small country gets really told what to do, where there can be stronger in a multilateral reaction. The other concern that a lot of us have is this General Agreement on Trade and Services, which is the services agreement, and that's a negotiation that's ongoing, is very distressing because it's about all services. The language going into Cancun was that no service is off the table a priori. That means it's assumed that we are all sitting down with a clean slate, everything's on the table, health, water, education, culture, social services, all of it. So my worry is that the new issues that they were promoting that got so soundly rejected will be kind of shifted off to services, because after all, services is where governments spend money, right? That's what government procurement's about. And if I'm using language, any of you want me to clarify after, please just say it. So when you get into this stuff, you forget what sort of out there is language that people use and what isn't. So that was just an incredible situation, okay? Now, parallel to that has been the move to extend NAFTA to all of the countries of the Americas in a process called the FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas. And there's a big ministerial meeting in Miami in November 2021-22. And now it's not going to be a make or break type meeting the way this WTO was, and they actually collapsed. It was going to go ahead or not, and it collapsed. They'll be very careful not to allow this to be set up as anything but just, oh, it's just a meeting, and they're going to have the expectations very low. We're not able to get inside. There's no NGO delegates to the FTAA process, so all of us will be outside behind barricades. There will be huge protests because it's in the U.S. It was very hard for people to get to Cancun, but there will be huge protests, and it'll be a lot about George Bush, not just about the FTAA. So you'll read a lot about street protests and that kind of thing when that happens. The FTAA is very dangerous for a number of reasons. One reason, of course, is that extending NAFTA to the countries of the other countries of the Americas, but more importantly, and I think this is the reason they did it, because they can do those one-on-one bilaterals. They've reopened NAFTA through the FTAA to include a whole new services chapter. Services were exempted in the first NAFTA as long as you were delivering them in a not-for-profit, non-commercial way. But with the FTAA, they're introducing a whole new services stream. Now, combined with the fact that they're going to keep this so-called Chapter 11, which is the provision of NAFTA that allows corporations to sue governments, we will now, if this goes ahead, have a situation where if a province decides that it's got a mandate to keep healthcare public, but our government signed healthcare into this and there's a Chapter 11 provision, any American hospital corporation or HMO would be able to sue the government of Canada because the province of Saskatchewan said, no, we don't want private not-for-profit or private for-profit healthcare in this province. So it's a really dangerous undertaking. Now, the good news, I keep giving you good and bad, is that Brazil is just as unhappy about the FTAA as it was about the WTO. The bad news is it doesn't have India, China, and South Africa to back it up in the free trade area of the Americas. It's only got Argentina. That's really its only buddy, if you will, because a lot of the other Latin American governments have very, or countries have very right-wing governments like Chile. So it's on its own. But remember, if you look at a map of Latin America, Brazil's huge. I mean, Brazil's the prize, right? If little Costa Rica said, we don't want to play ball with you, nobody'd notice. But Brazil is the prize. And if Brazil says no to this model, that is a very, very important thing for to happen. Now, I'm going to stop talking real soon, because what I want to do with you is to talk to you about, I want for us to talk about this together. The job ahead of us, of course, at Miami is to try to delay this deadline the way we did with the WTO, because they were both to converge and come into effect in 2005. Well, there's no way that the WTO can do that now. And what we want to do, if we want to have a second success, we want to stop the FTAA, we want to at least delay it. We call it derailing. You know, we know we're not strong enough right yet to totally wipe the whole thing up, but derail the WTO, derail the Doha round was our call going into Cancun. Derail the FTAA and stop while we build support. I've written a paper called Making the Links, A Citizen's Guide to the WTO and the FTAA. We've got it in English, French, Spanish, and Portuguese, and we've really distributed it widely through Latin America, and I've had a lot of feedback that it's really helping groups, education groups, peasants, small farmers, and so on, to get the information they need to get it out to their communities. So we're building a real coalition. So that's what we're trying to do, is stop that. The good news on our side is also that we're building alternative systems. We're building alternative we're building a movement towards alternatives, because with my whole heart and soul, I believe that economic globalization, based on the notion of unlimited growth, is going to kill the planet. It can't sustain it. If we all lived in the world the way the wealthiest of North America and Europe live, we'd need another six planets. We can't do it. And some of us are saying, and some people are actually listening, you can't have all the fish in the sea. You can't have all the water. You can't have all the seeds that belong to ancient peoples and ancient cultures. You can't have it all. You can't cut down every tree in the forest. The world can't sustain it. We can't sustain it. I read last year a study that showed that showed how many live animals are shipped from Great Britain to Europe for consumption every year, and how many live animals are shipped from Europe to Great Britain, and it's about the same number of animals. It's insane. It's insane. It's horrible on the animals. It's horrible on the environment. You use all this energy to ship stuff back and forth. It's insane. Of course I'm going to eat bananas and we don't grow them here. Nobody's against trade. I never want to not be able to have camembert from France, but we do need to have sanity in our trade policies. We need to say that the economy and trade are servants. The economy makes a good servant. It makes a terrible master, and it makes an even worse religion. And standing in a church here, the religion of our time is the economy. Is market-based economics, called the Washington Consensus, which is the belief held by our government and most of the governments around the world now that there's only one model for the world, and that's development based on a market model. More stuff, more trade, more investment, smaller governments, privatization, deregulation, including hand all of our water and our energy sources over to the private sector, and the market will determine who gets these resources, and they'll put a price on it, and that's what's going to save our water. That's the dominant theme out there. And if you want my opinion as to why there's so much less, not interest, but knowledge about these trade agreements, is that when we first started fighting the very first Canada-U.S. Free Trade Agreement in the 1980s, and there was this intense debate with Canadians right through to the signing of NAFTA, and then even the MAI, and then since then it's declined in terms of an interest. It's because our government has gone from being a victim. You know, our social programs were in peril, our energy was in peril, and so on. We've gone to becoming a victimizer. We've become part of the problem. Our government acts as a proxy for the United States in many, many ways, and our government is promoting an aggressive economic globalization agenda that is hurting people. There are more people falling into poverty every single year. An important, believe it or not, World Bank study came out last year that said that since the WTO was created in 1995, more and more people have fallen into poverty than in the entire 10 years before the WTO was created. It is accelerating differences. When the three wealthiest people in the world have a combined wealth greater than the entire income of the bottom half of humanity, something's profoundly wrong. When Walmart makes more than, is bigger than 161 countries in the world, something's profoundly wrong. And I believe with my heart that as this thing starts to crumble, and Cancun was proof that it's crumbling, we have to have something in its place ready to put forward to the world. And so we have the World Social Forums, which are happening nationally, 3 years running in Brazil, going to happen in India this year. We have regional social forums. We're setting up water networks to protect people's water. Guelph area is just ripe for water theft. You've got companies in this community going farm to farm to farm, saying, why are you people bothering to grow food? Just let us put a little straw down into your well or down into your aquifer, and we'll take care of it. And then what becomes a little mom and pop water operation suddenly is taken over by the local bottler, and before you know it, Nestle comes in and says, thank you very much, you'll get no bigger under by yourself. Nestle is, you know, a greedy transnational corporation that has about 78 companies now, including Perrier, San Pellegrino, Naya, Poland Spring. Anything that becomes big enough, Nestle gloms onto, and they're hunting the world for fresh water. And there's lovely pickings in this part, and we need to say no. Well, we're building a network to say no to those water takings. We're building a network to say no to factory farms and no to industrial agriculture, and yes to sanity back in our agriculture, our environmental, our social, and our economic policy. And since it doesn't seem to be coming from our politicians, it's going to have to come from us. So I just end by the formal part of this, and then just please come forward to the mic and just questions, comments, concerns, anything. But just remembering as we sit here tonight, to remembering Mr. Lee and the devastation that must have led him to do what he did. And when we won that day in Cancun and that conference center, I was just dying to get out of it. It was just such an awful place to be. And I just went quiet. Everybody was screaming and yelling. And I just said, Mr. Lee, wherever you are, I'm on Rome here. Wherever you are, we'll pick up the mantle for you because that's the very, very least we can do. And what we're fighting here and what we're fighting for around the world, which is to stop unlimited growth, which one environmentalist said has the same DNA as the cancer cell. It has to feed on its host to survive, right? We can't maintain this. And I made my vow to Mr. Lee. And I end with the words of Arundhati Roy, the great writer and activist from India. She says, when you get down, when you get discouraged, remember this. They are few, we are many. Another world is more than possible. Another world is being born as we speak. On a quiet morning, I can hear her breathing. Thank you.